Krishna. Hare Krishna. So any questions from anyone? Priyanana. Oh, yes, okay. Spiritual what?
Spiritual body
and soul. Yeah. They're synonymous. Yeah. Same thing.
But we were talking with Dr. Alita another day, and she said that by taking prasadam and everything, our even the soul, even the cells, our body became they are changing.
That's about the physical body. I don't understand here. I thought you said spiritual body, and atma.
Yeah, what's the difference between soul and atma and spiritual body?
Yes, but this thing about cells changing every 7 years, that's about the physical body. I mean, that's apparently what they say in science. Well, anyway, perhaps what we're trying to get at here is that the word Atma is defined variously. So let's use the general term self. Right? So it's been pointed out, I forget, it might be the Vishwakosha dictionary, but one of the Sanskrit dictionaries saying that depending upon one's conception of self, you can define Atma. So there can be a context where if someone is in an overwhelmingly bodily concept of self, that's Atma. Atma can also mean mind, like in the Bhagavad Gita sloka, Yatma Banduri Udared Atmanatmanam Atmanam Avasadiyat Atmaiva Ripur Atmaiva Ripur Atmana. So here, Atma can mean mind, it can mean the intelligence, it can mean various things, the self, how you conceive of the self. So, and the soul. But when we say soul, again, that's a general term. Like we're equating consciousness and soul, consciousness being a symptom of the soul's presence. But then we have consciousness and remembrance of Krishna, consciousness and forgetfulness of Krishna. Right? So when we speak of the Swarup, that means our, as you say, spiritual body, or our own actual spiritual self. That I've told before, that as we will take it, that this body is generated from exploiting tendencies, right? Jalaja Navalakani Stavar Lakavingshati. It's mentioned in the Padma Purana. By combinations of the three modes of nature, you have millions of variations of life forms. Right? So the soul in delusion, the body is the biological expression of the soul's delusion. Right? But conversely, when you can't... It'll be too distracting to me if you're speaking while I'm trying to speak also. The body is the biological expression of the soul's delusion. It's the outcome of exploiting tendencies. So you have all these millions of variations upon this principle of exploitation. From gross exploitation to subtle levels of exploitation. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avrituna urjana. This is mentioned in the Mamupetya punar janana. Anyway, the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, from Brahma loka to the lowest positions. Shiva, Virinchi, Amangalam. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Even Virinchi, Brahma, there's some inauspiciousness, even in his world there. And the bodies on Brahmaloka, we find out in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though Brahma lives for 311 trillion years, approximately, and the average lifespan on Satyaloka, his planet, is 15 trillion years, still they have to die. So the world of exploitation and bodies enabling exploiting tendencies on the basis of the statements of Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Guru Maharaj, we're saying that as the physical, the subtle and gross bodies are the outcome of exploiting tendency, the swarup or the spiritual body is comprised of dedicating tendency, of devotional tendencies. Srila Guru Maharaj mentions the concept of ruchi pariksha, which means where the guru is examining the ruchi, the taste of his disciple, as Saraswati Thakur did to him on the Brajamandal Parikrama when they come to Kadam Kandi. And Guru Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur said, which place do you like best? He said, Kadam Kandi. Then some years later, the party, again, they're on tour and they come to Kadam Kandi and Saraswati Thakur says, your place. And Guru Maharaj realized then, oh, he's examining the taste and spiritual tendency. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the Namahatta of Nityananda Prabhu, he signs it, the sweeper, Kedarnath Bhaktivinoda. Srila Saraswati Thakur said, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the sweeper in that divine domain, then why I'm one of the straws in his broom. And Srila Guru Maharaj has made this observation. He said, if we take this as a sincere expression, which we do, he said, then you can understand the unit of construction of the swarup, of the spiritual body. So what we take away from this as with dedicating tendencies, the exploiting tendencies are minimized and diminishing, and those which are sustaining the mundane form, that means it's gradually the layers, karma and gyan, they're vanishing. And as in the Ruchi Pariksha, Guru Maharaj said, the guru, in this case Saraswati Thakur, he's beginning to see the swarup manifest on account of dedicating tendencies. So we have to remember the basis of this, Vaikuntya Prithivyadi Sakula Chinmoy. Everything in the spiritual world is comprised of consciousness, of chinmoy. We're seeing things in the inverse. We think that wood and stone and metal and earth are substantial things. And things like consciousness are insubstantial or unverifiable or vague, abstract. But an inversion has to take place where we realize this is the lower aspect. Bhumirapo analovayu kamano bhutirevacha. The eight material energies from gross to subtle, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. That's all mundane. In the beginning of the soul plane, the least aspect of the soul plane is higher than that. Apare amitas tanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayetam daryate jagat. Is para shakti, a higher energy than this, is the beginning of the soul plane, the general conscious plane, and then what we call the paramatma, atma to paramatma, the paramatma world, and then it becoming more and more defined. Right. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavammam prapadyate vasudev sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabaha. After crossing over all these mundane misconceptions, coming to the realm of pure conception begins with understanding Vasudev, Krishna is everything. But there he's in an isolated position. That means from the remotest position, you're seeing Krishna. Begin to make our approach nearer. Bhagawan means Shakti and Shaktiman. So in the lower hemisphere of the spiritual world, Lakshmi Narayan. Going further, Sitaram, further, Rukmini and Dwarakanath, further, Mathuranath, further, Krishna in Vrindavan with Radharani and Brajagopis. So when we say soul, it's a very general term. Right? Atma. But if we refine the concept and start coming more clearly into focus, meaning the soul enriched with dedicating tendency, then what type of dedication? Vaikuntha, the dedication of Vaikuntha, or the type in Ayodhya, or the type in Dwaraka, the type in Mathura, the type in Vrindavan. Vrindavan hoite shrestha govardhana shoila, gandharvika giridhari jata krida koila. And then in Vrindavan, general groups, more specific groups. So Srila Guru Maharaj tells us there's gradation in everything. So there's also gradations in the concept of identity, of what we mean by soul. Brahma, spirit's a general term. Just like we say God, God is a general term. Saraswati Thakur preferred Godhead to God, because God sounded more like the limitations of the Christian conception of divinity, whereas Godhead allows for the full gradation and development of divinity. All the different avatars, incarnations. So Shantarasa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, Parakya, Svakya. So Jive Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. That's a general thing we say. The Swarup is that you're the eternal servitor of Krishna. But what kind of servitor? A servitor in Shantarasa or Dasya Rasa, as you know, in a passive relationship, a servile friendship, parental, and conjugal. And where? In Vaikuntha, in Dwaraka, in Mathura, Vrindavan. So there's gradation in everything. And as we told before, those spiritual forms, like in the play, we talk about Krishna Leela. Everything is constituted out of dedicating consciousness. Consciousness enriched with a dedicating tendency. Yat kinchit trigumati kikatamukam goshte samastamitat sarvananda mukunda daitam lilanukulam param. Raghunath Das Goswami says in his prayers, but he's praising even the lower life forms, insects, trees, plants, everything. Why? He's saying they're mukunda doita, they're dear to Krishna, and they're lilanukul. They're favorable to the pastimes of Krishna. But these divine forms, they're not limited. As we told here, I told the other day, a child might play the role of a flower in a play. Right? If you can understand that principle, still a child, but taking on the form of a flower in a play. So the Jamuna is taking on the form of a river, but she also has a personality. She can appear in a human-like form. Or as a river, So it doesn't have the, we can't impose mundane limitations upon the prospects or possibility of divine form. But anyabilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavratam manukulyena krishnano shilanam bhakti rutama. But now that form is covered by layers of karma, gyan, by layers of ego, by layers of acquired tendencies, acquired exploiting tendencies. So it's hidden beneath layers of ego and acquired exploiting tendencies. How to again manifest? Through dedication. The unit of construction of the swarup, or dedicating tendencies. That we have to understand. It's not that now we will voyeuristically envision ourselves as super servitors in the super, super subjective world, as is the mistake of the Prakriti Sahajiyas. Sahajiya gurus from the very beginning say, "You, this is your identity, this is your swarup. Here's your name, your dress, your form, you do these activities, now practice that until you realize that." I call it the Stanislavski method of Sahajiyaism. Stanislavski, this was his method for acting. Meditate on that character, walk like them, dress like them, talk like them, think like them, walk, do everything like them. And if you're good at it, you'll have an epiphany and you'll realize you've become that character. You're not acting. You've transformed into that character. It's great for acting, but not for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami warns against this very thing. Those who are sentimental by nature and those who are acting. Rupa Goswami made this warning 500 years ago. And I don't think it was exclusively intended for people living now. That means even then, and we have stories, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and elsewhere, of someone feigning devotional devotion and ecstatic devotion. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the story of when one snake charmer, and there's a group of people assembled, and Haridas Thakur, seeing the snakes, the cobras, he's reminded of Ananta Dev, and he enters a divine trance and state of ecstasy on account of that awareness, and his body is devastated with waves of ecstatic symptoms, and he faints to the ground, and all the people there bowing, worshiping him, taking his feet dust, and some envious Sahajya Brahman thinks, "For that, he gets this? I can do better than that." Then he puts on his show of devotional symptoms, ecstatic symptoms, and the people are beating him. And he's saying, "I don't understand. When he did it, you're all worshiping, taking feet. I do it, I'm getting, you know, a club over the head." He's saying, "Yes, because what you're doing is mocking the great devotees for whom these things are real. You're imitating the Mahabhagavata." We know Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, that it's interesting, one Western scholar, a lady, she studied all these so-called saints of Bengal, and after she would study, when she'd say, "Well, many people think this person was bogus." But she'd tell the story, and this time. But in her research, when it came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, she said, interestingly, no one thinks he's bogus. She's just making an observation. She's not a devotee per se, maybe closeted. But she thought it was, she said, interestingly, no one challenges his authenticity. And she told some legend story of he left an outhouse where he was taking Krishna Nam. Witnesses, they observed that the bricks of the outhouse were vibrating Krishna Nam. So inanimate had been awakened to Krishna consciousness. Not just the consciousness. As Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayedam Daryate Jagat, jivas are everywhere. But they'd been awakened to Krishna consciousness. Those which were in suspended animation, in inanimate state. Anyway, so Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we're told one man thought to imitate him. Like whatever he'll do, I'll do. Because there's what you call, what is it? Anuchar and anusar. One is imitation, the other is to follow substantially. Any rate, so he's doing the same thing. He's living, makes a hut on the bank of the Ganga. He's chanting Krishna Nam all the time, performing austerities, doing so many things. And in time, he's also exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. People hear some extraordinary cries, groans from his hut. And they approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Babaji Maharaj, who was known for his cryptic remarks, and Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj once said, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a very humorous fellow. Anyway, so they approached Babaji Maharaj, and he says, if a lady enters a labor room, the labor room where you give birth to a baby. A woman enters the labor room and starts moaning and groaning and contorting and said, will she produce a baby? And in the words of Guru Maharaj, he said, certain activities must have preceded that before the gestation period, the time will come. But just imitating, entering a labor room, a woman enters the labor room and starts imitating the behavior, the movements, the cries, the groans of a woman who's actually giving birth, nothing substantial will come of it. Right. So how to achieve that position? How to become enriched with dedicating tendency. If that's the road, the route to the swarup, how to become enriched? Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. Association, bhaktya sanjatya bhaktya. A candle can light another candle. A candle cannot ignite itself. Candle bearing illumination can light another. Krishna is Atma Prajnanamayo. He's self-illuminating. And who he extends himself to, they can also be illuminated and illuminate others. And what does it say? Krishna Bhakti Janma Mool Hoy Sadhu Sangha, the root cause of devotion or dedicating tendency, Sadhu Sangha. Even in the higher stages, Krishna Prema, still, always, eternally, forever, under the shelter of the Ashraya Vigraha, Guru. So when we hear that Radha has Anga Jyoti, Subal has Anga Jyoti, etc. If we think, oh, their Jyoti is comprised of so many personalities who are innately given to that sort of dedicating tendency, we shouldn't think that Jyoti means light in the conventional sense. It's like if you have a personality, a divine illuminating personality surrounded by their entourage, that's also a type of Jyoti, effulgence. So when we hear Jyoti or light, we shouldn't think that is the means that there's no swarup or form or personality. Once Srila Guru Maharaj said that exalted souls with microscopic vision can look into the Brahma Jyoti and see the swarup of the jivas located there. Like anyone who's familiar with printing, you know, in printing, color printing, you have magenta, cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. What you see is a uniform field of color. But if you take out a loop, a magnifier, and you look at that, you'll see that what you're seeing as a uniform field of color and expression, if you look, you'll see yellow dots, black dots, cyan dots, magenta dots. So it's something like that. It's a crude example, but you can understand something from this. But that form is comprised of dedicating tendency. That's the important point to understand. We think that what is ethereal is spiritual. Right? Like people in this world, if some mundane thing has some sort of power, they think it's spiritual. Right? Like medicine has power. Doesn't mean it's spiritual. Alcohol has power. It doesn't mean it's spiritual. If a jewel or a gem has some power, it doesn't mean it's spiritual. It's a mundane thing. It's a mundane type of power. It's not spiritual. Spiritual means beyond these eightfold layers and coverings of mundane. Right? Spiritual, in the truest sense, means, as I said, enriched with a dedicating tendency. Not to use some power within this world for a mundane purpose, to suit our lower purpose. That's why it's an offense against divinity to take the higher things and use them for a lower purpose. Generally, we're accustomed in the mood of consumers to consume that which is lower than us. Whereas spiritual approach in earnest means to offer ourselves in service to that which is higher. The approach to the higher is through service, not to try and harness it and force it to serve us. So in Bhagavad Gita it says, Ascharjavat Pashti Kaschirenam. If you have a glimpse of your soul, even in its most elementary form, you'll be astonished. What to speak of having a glimpse of its potential in the land of dedication. So sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj would say to us, from that perspective, he'd say, your future is so bright, you can't imagine what awaits you. if you continue pursuing Krishna consciousness. We haven't properly conceived that. Any other question? Yes.
Maybe shortly.
Yes.
There is, two variants. First, when you call Krishna to capture your heart, the womb puts a seed and then it sprouts and grows. And
yes.
Also, another variant, you can distinct Krishna consciousness, that it's a thing which you cannot resist. So if you try to...
Irresistible.
Yes, irresistible.
Yeah.
So if you try to resist something, and you can resist it, so it's not Krishna consciousness.
I'm the source of that statement. And what I was talking about is something a little more specific. I said that devotees, if some ecstatic feelings, some spiritual emotion, some higher sort of thing comes to them, their natural tendency is to try and resist that, to think, I'm unqualified to have such feelings, to be blessed with these things. Whereas, just as we told before, sahajya imitationists, they're trying to induce tears. They want to be seen crying. So the people know, oh, heard the name of Krishna and started crying. Must be an exalted devotee. Rupa Goswami warned, he said, no, some people are just sentimental. They cry at many things or at anything. And others are acting. So I was making a very specific point that substantial devotees, they try and resist these things, thinking along the lines, if it can be resisted, then it wasn't something substantial. But if one tries to resist that and was unable to resist it, and in the case, I'm talking about very exalted devotees, here, Srila Saraswati Thakur, we're told, if some emotion was coming to him while speaking about Krishna, he meticulously suppressed that to not mislead neophytes who are prone to try and exhibit such things. He's the guru, the head guru. If he shows that, then others will imitate that. So he is suppressing that as far as possible. But Srila Guru Maharaj pointed out, and you can see, we've seen any picture of him, he is the personification of gravity. But that person, Jati Rajaganai, the king of the sannyasis, Srila Saraswati Thakur, Srila Guru Maharaj said, in venting the verse, Ashabare Amrita Sundamayi Katancha, which is a sloka of Raghunath Das Goswami expressing his heart's inner aspiration for the service of the holy lotus feet of Radharani. Right? Sometimes in expressing that sloka, Srila Guru Maharaj said he was crying uncontrollably. So, two points are interesting. One, it's the personification of gravity, who meticulously suppressed any such thing. Sometimes, with a selected group of the disciples behind closed doors, feeling what is encouched in that sloka, he was found to cry uncontrollably. It's a service aspiration. And this is the other point. Others who are feigning symptoms, it's about something, some pastimes with intimate aspects, etc. Here, what's moving him to tears is the service aspiration for the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. How pure is his heart. Echoing the sentiments of Raghunath Das Goswami, without the service of her holy lotus feet, life is not worth living. Rupa Goswami gives the example of Daruka and Radharani in Bhaktivrasamrita Sindhu, that Daruka is Krishna's charioteer. Sometimes he's fanning him. Sometimes he's moved to ecstatic symptoms. He's cursing those symptoms because, being stunned, he can't continue with his service. Radharani is cursing her ecstasy from flooding her eyes with tears and blurring the vision of Krishna. So it's going to the other extreme, whereas Sahajya imitationist and neophyte wannabes are trying to induce within themselves some expression of emotion, feeling, tears, etc., so that others will get the impression that they are advanced in devotion. They're making an ostentatious display of devotion for name and fame. We see those who actually have devotion, they're at the other end of the spectrum, cursing ecstasy from interfering with their seva. That's the point. So when I said about irresistible, this line of defense of higher devotees, and we can learn from that as well, that we don't want something cheap. So if we think by comparison, we're new recruits, who are we to give vent to such feelings, etc.? Will, rather than trying to augment such things, suppress them. And if it's irresistible, then maybe there's a touch of substance there. The Bhaktivrasamrita Sindhus, the science of devotion, just like in science, they have a way of testing things. So in the science of devotion, Rupa Goswami has a way of testing whether something is real or genuine, real and genuine, or false and counterfeit. And look, you say, calling for Krishna. That's not something in the past. And if you look to Krishna Lila, what will be expected from progressive servitors? We hear in the case of Draupadi that when she's, you know, and this is Lila, pastimes, Mahabharata, but when she's lost, she's gambled away by her husbands. And when the Kauravas, they want to humiliate her and humiliate the Pandavas, and they call for her to enter the assembly, and they want to strip her publicly, to disrobe her in an open assembly. This woman of great, of impeccable character, saintly qualities, and dignity. They want to disrobe her publicly now that they own her. And when she enters that scene, what are we told first? She's crying, she's calling for Krishna. And there's no response. Right? And she's trying to keep her dignity and modesty. And in the end, when she's holding with her hands her remaining cloth, and when she is utterly hopeless and helpless, she throws up both of her hands in the air. She surrenders to her destiny or fate and says, "Hey, Gopi Jana Balava." When she addresses Krishna as the beloved of the Braja Gopis, then Krishna comes. But he didn't respond before that. Because Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, Braja Sharanam, this type of total giving of the self over to Krishna and one's fate to Krishna. Right. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshisya titi vishvaso gopitve. So offering oneself to Krishna, saying, Krishna will protect me. Rake Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rake ke. If Krishna wants to protect me, no one can harm me. If he wants to kill me, no one can save me. When she reaches that level, the Braja Sharanam, hey, Gopi Jana Balava, then Krishna is miraculously, mysteriously supplying the cloth. And we hear, what is that? When she was a girl and Krishna cut once, and she tore her cloth and made a bandage for Krishna. You give little finite to Krishna and the infinite comes in return. So as Guru Maharaj would say, die to live. Asli shava parvatam panastumam adarshanam marmahatam korotuba. Yatatata bhavadadatu lampato mat prana natastu saeva napara. Unconditional surrender. We can't expect to get the result that Prahlad got, the result that Draupadi got, the result that so many have got. Adarshanam, maybe Krishna will not appear. We'll think, who am I? That's for the great devotees. How much have I given of myself that would warrant such response? That's what we're talking, that principle. Anartha Nivritti, Guru Maharaj said, the substantial devotees will never think they have achieved Anartha Nivritti. Like we would hear some devotees saying, well, after I've been chanting Hare Krishna Mantra for 30 years and following that. 30 years is nothing. 300 years is nothing. lifetimes is nothing. When Mukunda, it somehow it fell out of favor with Mahaprabhu and was told, don't allow him near me anymore. He can't be in my inner circle. Don't want to see him and I don't want to see his face, hear his name, nothing. And the devotee had to tell Mukunda that. And he said, then ask Mahaprabhu, when will I get his darshan again? And they delivered the message. Mahaprabhu said, in a million years. And they go back and tell Mukunda, in a million years. And he's, Hare Krishna! He's ecstatic. And in a million years, I'll get to see the lotus feet of my Lord. And then they tell Mahaprabhu, And what did he say when you told him a million years? He said, he was dancing in ecstasy. He said, tell him to come. His million years are up. The expansion and contraction of time and space. The Rasa Lila, Brahmaratri, lasted for an evening of Brahma, and to the Brajagopis, on account of their intense affection, seemed like the blink of an eye. And their separation, from when they, Krishna, they're walking, he goes behind a tree, and for the blink of an eye, they're separated. It seems like a day of Brahma to them on account of their, the intensity of their love and affection. What price is, would be appropriate to enter that domain? What would be the appropriate level of sacrifice or the appropriate price to pay? That Srila Guru Maharaj reminds us. So just to know that we're going in the right direction is more than inspiring for the modest, progressive devotee. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.